Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Lucy Malazzo.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
Boris Johnson's new-look cabinet meets today after bringing in a team of prominent Brexiteers to top government positions. His Tory leadership rival Jeremy Hunt turned down a job, and 17 ministers either quit or were sacked. Now, Conservative Anthony Brown is the man who has been represented... wants to represent the Conservatives in South Cambridgeshire, has been selected by them in the past few days. Of course, at the moment, Heidi Allen, the MP for South Cam, started off as a Conservative but now sits as an independent. I guess we should start off, Anthony, first of all, by welcoming you here and offering you our congratulations as
Thank you. It's very exciting. Honour to represent this area.
We'll talk about a little bit about that in a few moments' time. But I wanted to start with Boris, because you worked for him for some time when he was Mayor of London.
I did indeed. So his first term, in fact. I wasn't involved with his 2008 campaign, but once he won Mayor of London, he phoned me up and asked me to come and work for him. And I worked for him in his first term, doing a range of different things, but primarily in charge of economic and business policy. So I worked with him for 3 or 4 years and then wrote his manifesto for the 2012 re-election in London. And I focused on, as I say, business policy, but actually infrastructure. Worked on a lot of infrastructure projects. And that's one of the things I think I bring to South Cams, because one of the big issues here is improving road and rail, and I know how to help set off and push forward infrastructure projects and get them to happen.
So what's Boris like then? You know, we see, well, for example, we saw the two most recent speeches, the one obviously yesterday on the steps of Downing Street, which was actually by Boris standards pretty serious speech. And then there was, if you like, the comedy turn after he accepted the leadership on the day before yesterday.
So the one thing that is most obvious, and I think everyone knows, is his just unrelenting optimism, which is actually really quite inspiring working for him and I think what the country needs at the moment. We've had a difficult time over the last few years, and actually having a leader who's very optimistic can do, I think, would help lift the national mood to some extent, and that's great. And that is just Boris. He is just like that. It's not an act. He's just a naturally optimistic person in his private life and public life. And the thing is, you said you mentioned his sort of serious speech and then his colourful speech. That he clearly, you know, he is colourful. He's got great language. He's got great sense of humour, etc. But one thing's I noticed working for him, when something's serious, he does buckle down.
Did you ever witness him in a crisis at all?
Well, there's always like little crises.
Well, the largest crisis or smallest crisis.
He was always sort of quite cool under crisis. I mean, I certainly never saw him panic or anything like that. But what I did remember, like, we went through this long negotiations about buying the Olympic Park, which was a very big financial deal, and he realised, you know, this is a very important deal, he's got to get it right. And we had a whole series of meetings where he really focused on the numbers and actually really got to grip with them in a way that I thought was really quite impressive. And the lesson I got from that, and I've seen it several times afterwards, that when he knows something is serious, then he really buckles down and gets down to the detail.
That's interesting, because a lot of people, if they're criticising him, they'll say, oh, he doesn't have the attention to detail, he doesn't read his papers. What you're suggesting is when he absolutely needs to.
He absolutely does, yeah. I mean, the thing, it's really, lots of people underestimate Boris. Almost every time he does something, people say he'll fail. Like when he became editor of the Spectator magazine, everyone said, the magazine will go down the pan. Actually, the sales figure surged. Before he became Mayor of London, everyone said he'd be a completely disastrous mayor. And actually, I think, you know, there's general consensus he was a pretty good mayor, and he certainly got re-elected. And, you know, there's a bit of controversy about his being Foreign Secretary, but I wouldn't underestimate him, because he's a lot more adaptable and flexible and in doing things than his critics like to make out.
What do you think yesterday evening when the news of what was happening to the cabinet was announced? Do you think that was typical of the man? I think that's a series of sackings which I think Harold Macmillan would have been proud of, I would have thought. The numbers who either chose to walk or were asked to walk.
I was surprised how wide-ranging it was. It clearly was a really big reshuffle. He was asserting his authority over the Conservative Party and over the government. He's been explicit about it. He wants a cabinet that will sign up to Brexit and whatever the outcome is of the negotiations, etc., and doesn't want to end up with all the cabinet battles that Theresa May had, where she ended up in a sort of almost a free-for-all. We had whole different factions within the cabinet pulling in different directions and openly disagreeing with government policy. And, you know, he's made it clear he doesn't want that.
What about the composition of the cabinet? It is very Brexity, isn't it? I know that that's yeah. his key.
It'd be surprising if it wasn't.
Well, I mean, yes and no. You know, but by that I mean there are all people who absolutely want to go, but there are other things.
There are Remainers in there as well. Amber Rudd and Nicky Morgan are big Remainers. I mean, it's not 100% Brexiteers in there. What they are all is signed up to making sure Brexit happens, and that if necessary, and nobody wants this, or if there is a no deal, then actually would accept that. That's what Boris made clear. But the big challenge facing the country and the government is Brexit, and it's I think, irrespective of which way people voted in the referendum, I think most people now think actually we just need to get on and get it done and get it over with, and people are so fed up.
But they want the right direction of travel, though, don't
absolutely.
They? As we know from just listening to, I don't know, hours worth of news anywhere, there still remains a wide range of views soft, hard, in between as the direction it should take, will be the challenge for Boris,
absolutely. I mean, he faces the same challenges that Theresa May had. I mean, he's got a majority, I think, of two in Parliament now, and it might go down to one. I mean, and that's with the support of the DUP. It's very difficult to manage Parliament like that, certainly on an issue as divisive as Brexit, where you've got certain Tory rebels who are threatening to resign from the party, etc. And then the EU negotiations, Theresa May had 3 years, reached an agreement that she couldn't get through Parliament. Boris has got 3 months, 99 days.
And with new people at the other end as well to speak to.
And so I used to be Europe editor of the Times, and I lived in Brussels for 3 years, and I've been very heavily involved with European politics for 20
Boris
years.
Boris wasn't Europe editor of the Telegraph at that time, was he?
I was after him. But I covered this period in Brussels politics when you get a new parliament in and then a new commission president coming in. And there is a real lack of authority in Brussels at this moment. No one can really make a decision because you've got Jean-Claude Juncker, the outgoing president, who we all know is going to leave on October 31st. So he's got that sort of lame duckness about him. And then you've got the incoming president, Ursula von der Leyen, who's not in position yet. You've got a parliament that's sorting itself out. They're trying to work out what committees they sit on, etc. Mm. I mean, it's very difficult for the EU to get anything done at this time. So yes, Boris faces that challenge as well. So, and I don't know what the outcome is going to be. I mean, I certainly hope there is a deal, and I certainly hope he gets a deal.
Are you a Remainer or a Brexiteer?
I think there's very strong arguments on both sides. I think there's...
Where did you vote in the election?
So I was...
referendum.
I would say about the EU. But actually, so I'm actually a quarter Irish. I'm half Norwegian. My mother's Norwegian, and I lived in Brussels 3 years. My children were born out there. I've been involved with negotiating with the EU for 20 years. Like when I ran the British Bankers Association, I was chief executive there. I did all the financial services reforms in the bowels of the European Parliament, the Commission, the European Council, and the Brexit negotiations as well with Michel Barnier's team. And the EU has done great work over the last 50 years. And the two really big achievements are the uniting Europe after the Second World War, after the devastation of the Second World War, and then making sure the Eastern European countries, in Poland and so on, the former communist countries, become liberal democracies rather than become dictatorships, slip back into the dictatorship. But I think the EU does need serious reform. And in fact, I was a Remainer until the point that David Cameron had his negotiation and didn't really get anything. And the EU made it clear that actually they weren't intent on reform. But I am very reluctant about that. I think it's really important we stay close to our European partners. And I absolutely would want a deal. But more than that, and I think my view is actually really sort of irrelevant. I've got most respect for both sides because I do genuinely think there are very strong arguments on both sides, and most of my friends are Remainers.
But you're now a sort of reluctant Brexiteer?
As reluctant as you can possibly get.
Right, yeah, okay. No,
would say, and I do feel this quite strongly, is we did have a referendum and there was a result to the referendum, and I really fear for the future of democracy in this country if we don't respect the result of that referendum. And I just think, I mean, I can see the mood in this country has hardened so much, people have got more entrenched on both sides. I mean, on the Remain side and the Brexit side.
Well, actually, we explore... explore some of that in a short while. Better do some travel and take some music as well. Anthony Brown is still with us. He has been selected by the Conservatives in South Cambridgeshire to stand at the next election. When do you think that might be? Do you think we'll have you back in here for an election interview before the end of the year?
I'm looking at my crystal ball now. I'm rubbing it and it's blank, I'm afraid. I don't know. And under the Fixed Term Parliament Act, we need an election by May 2022, which is an awful long time away. Mm. And it would be extremely difficult for the government, for the new Prime Minister, to sustain a majority of two over that period.
So is it going to be?
We'll have an election before then. Whether it's this, you know, there's speculation it'll be this autumn. I don't think anybody wants that. I think there's huge opposition to that, both within the government, but also I don't think, you know, the Labour Party are in any place to really want to an election now. So, my hunch will be in a year's time or so.
If and when it comes, it might be a bit tricky for you in South Cams, insofar as popular MP for the Conservatives in South Cams in Heidi Allen, but chose first of all with I had so many names I kind of forgotten what they ended up being called. The Tiggers, the independent group, but now sitting as an independent. But obviously
as
the Conservative
independent.
Well, I know, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
as opposed to an independent party, somebody who is genuinely an independent. But obviously the local Conservative Association had to choose somebody else, and they chose you. And it's interesting because at first glance, it's always been parachuted in, but you haven't at all because you're born on the Mill Road.
Absolutely. I was born within about 150 metres of your radio station in Mill Road Maternity Hospital, which is now no longer a maternity hospital. I know it's all gone down to Addenbrookes now, but and then I grew up in Falmia, which is in the south of the constituency, little farming village. I grew up in a little smallhold farm there. It was only 10 acres, but we grew wheat and potatoes and chickens, and I used to ride on the back of, at this time of year, on the back of combine harvesters.
Oh, fantastic.
Very exciting. And then a bit later in the year, on the back of potato planters, dragged along by tractors, we put the little new potatoes in the ground. It was great fun. And I felt at that time very much sort of part of the farming community. But I then went, I went to Falmia Village School. I got a bursary to go to the Perth School. I then went to Hills Road Sixth Form College, so going up Hills Road. And then I went to the university where I did a maths degree. But in terms of local connections to your station, because the listeners know we're in Gwydir Street.
Oh, yeah, no, we vaguely informed them that we're next to the cemetery. So.
Right, yeah. So my parents opened a bookshop, Brown's Bookstore, which I'm sure some people remember, in Mill Road, which was open for about 25 years.
And
working as a child.
Oh gosh, there's a restaurant as well, I think.
Yes, and my father opened Bruno's, which is a restaurant.
That's
in,
the one. Yeah. Yes.
Bruno is Italian for brown. He says very subtle.
Brown, remember that
Brown
one?
Being the family name.
Vaguely, yes. I don't think I ever went, but it was the restaurant that I've always thought I can never remember what it was. And it was Bruno's. Yeah.
And the bookstore is where the Petersfield Pharmacy is now.
Yeah, and the shop next to it.
Right. Gosh, so that's, I guess there'll be a few people who remember that. Anthony, well, look, thank you very much for coming in and seeing us this morning, giving us your knowledge of our new Prime Minister when you were working with him in London and when he was the Mayor. We shall see, I guess, as to how he gets on over the next few weeks and months, and no doubt we'll welcome you back here as well before not too very long. Thank you very much indeed.
Okay, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.